News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for listening. This is the show, of course, where we discuss issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest, around your community, or we talk about things happening around the state. Sometimes we check in with our state lawmakers. Occasionally, we get into some national issues. At some point this week, we'll chat with Congressman Fred Upton about a few different things. So sometimes we'll talk about those issues, and we also will give you previews of local events that are taking place. You know, things like festivals. This time of year, there's all sorts of summer festivals to attend, so I always like to talk to the organizers of those events to find out about what's planned, especially around the weekends. On today's show, we've got several things to talk about. First of all, last night, St. Joe City Commissioners, they held a meeting. It wasn't just the city commissioners. It was several city officials in St. Joseph. They once again held a meeting to talk about infrastructure. As we have discussed, the city has noticed there will be a need for a lot of infrastructure work over the next 20 years. They're planning ahead. They're taking a look at what they're going to need in terms of the water system and the sewers and the streets. They want to tackle all of those things at the same time, which is really the best way to do it. So they held a meeting last night at City Hall to once again tell people about what the needs are and also about what the options might be for finding a way to pay for all this work. So next segment, we'll hear all about that. I stopped by the meeting last night, talked to a couple of individuals who were in the know, including the mayor. So we'll hear about St. Joseph's infrastructure needs and what they may do to pay for all that work. Also coming up today, we'll chat with a candidate for Congress. Yes, it's a Democrat running in the primary in here in the 6th District. There are five Democrats who are running for their party's nomination to seek the 6th District congressional seat. They want to take on Congressman Fred Upton next year. So I've talked with all the candidates. I spoke with Paul Clements already. He's the guy who's run previously twice. He's running again this year. But that opened the floodgates, and I talked to all of them. So coming up in future shows in the next week or two or three, we'll hear from all these candidates running in the Democratic primary in the 6th District. So coming up today, we'll chat with David Benack. He's one of the candidates running for that position. And today, we'll hear from Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski. I talked with Brett about a blight elimination grant that the county has received. The county has received a grant from the state to remove blighted properties, in other words, tear down abandoned buildings. So we'll hear about that coming up on today's show as well. Speaking of the Berrien County Treasurer's Office, you may have heard yesterday was the county treasurer's land auction. Twice a year, they hold these auctions to try to sell off foreclosed properties that the county has seized due to a property owner failing to pay their property taxes for 3 years. Yesterday, the county held its first property tax auction of the year, and it went quite well. They had a good turnout. They sold a large number of properties, more than usual, yesterday morning and on into the afternoon. They sold, let's see here, 87 out of 220 properties that were up for grabs. That's about 40% of the available properties, and usually they only sell about 25%. In the summer auction. So the county made $1.1 million yesterday auctioning off all these foreclosed properties. Now, one of the big ones that was on the auction block was the Mercy Hospital property in Benton Harbor. That did not sell. They were seeking a minimum bid of $320,000 on that one, and they did not find any bidders for that. So now what the county treasurer is going to do is work with the county land bank and also the city of Benton Harbor to try to find a proper buyer for it. Mercy Hospital will not be auctioned off in the next property auction, which will be in October. That's when they try to sell off all the properties that did not sell in yesterday's land auction. And all in October, in that auction, everything will go for a minimum bid of $50. They're not going to put the Mercy Hospital property into that auction. So they're trying to find a developer for that. But otherwise, yesterday's county land auction went pretty well. They sold some properties for $85,000. They had one go for $75,000. One went for $65,000. So that's $1.1 million into the county's foreclosure fund. And so there's plenty happening with the Berrien County Treasurer's Office. And as mentioned, we'll hear about the blight elimination grant coming up on today's show. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, you are listening to Our Take. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. If you have a suggestion for a topic, email us. I am all ears, and I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. We are going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we will learn about last night's infrastructure meeting in the city of St. Joseph. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we talk about issues playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. Things you've heard about on WSJM News in recent weeks. Those topics will come up here on Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. If you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss, send us an email, why don't you? The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. We're always interested in hearing your take about things happening in the news. And what we're going to talk about this segment is a meeting which occurred last night in the city of St. Joseph. They held a meeting, some city officials, they held a meeting at City Hall. We have talked about this before. They held an infrastructure meeting where they discussed needs for the water system and the sewer system and the local streets in the city of St. Joseph. They are trying to plan for future infrastructure needs. You may have noticed the streets in some areas of the city aren't in the best condition. Part of the reason why is they don't get enough funding to be able to repair all these streets as often as they should. And on top of that, they're going to need water system work. They're going to need sewer system work. And it just happens that the water and sewers are, those lines are located underneath the streets. So they have these three needs. City planners, they've looked at that and they said, well, the best way to deal with all this for the next 20 years would be to tackle them all at the same time. If we're going to tear up the streets to replace things, water mains and so forth, we may as well fix the streets while we're at it. So they've planned out 20 years into the future. They've identified a need for about $80 million in funding for the next 20 years. It's actually more than 80 million. It's more like 86 for the next 20 years. So that will require some money, obviously. How are they going to raise this money? Well, that's what was discussed at last night's infrastructure meeting in St. Joseph. Now, city leaders have identified a couple of ways to do it. One way is to increase the water rate, increase the sewer rate, and raise the millage rate. Okay, now they could raise the millage by either 2 or 2.5 mils, depending on which option they take. They may need to seek bonds in the future as well. That's essentially a loan. The downside of a bond is it comes with interest they have to pay back. As far as the water and sewer rate increases, the water rate increase they're talking about is 3.5%. The sewer rate increase they're talking about is 7%. That may sound significant, but you should know, this was discussed at last night's meeting, St. Joe's water and sewer rates are actually on the low end compared to other places in Berrien County. I found out last night the most expensive water and sewer rates can be found in Buchanan Township, oddly enough, and the cheapest are in Coloma. That just has to do with local circumstances. I couldn't tell you exactly what they are. But anyway, in the city of St. Joe, you're looking at some likely rate increases. That is necessary to make sure the community stays nice and functional for everyone into the future. Anyway, I went to this meeting last night. I chatted with a couple of individuals who were present. First of all, I talked to Sean Keogh. He is a civil engineer with an engineering firm called Wade Trim that's been working with the city on this. I talked with him for a few minutes about some of the needs in the city of St. Joe for infrastructure work. So let's hear that conversation now.
What is your role in these ongoing discussions?
I am a civil engineering consultant that's helping the city with its asset management plan. We're looking at the asset inventory, the condition of those assets, helping prioritize which assets are in good condition, fair condition, poor condition, and then putting together a plan to address those in a proactive manner.
So what sorts of options, you know, were identified tonight for the city to meet its long-term infrastructure needs?
Well, based upon the capital improvement plan that we put together, which is a 20-year plan calling for road improvements, water and sewer improvements, and sewer improvements over the next 20 years. The projected dollar value of those improvements was a little over $80 million. So what we proposed was what we thought a fair approach to having the water fund the water improvements, 3.5%, the sewer fund the sewer improvements, a 7% increase, and then increasing the city's road millage from 1 mil to 3 mils, so that the road millage would cover the road improvements. I think everybody realizes that, you know, the utilities lie underneath the roads, so you can't really fix the utilities without damaging the roads, so you have to have a plan in place to cover those costs. And most of us felt that the if part of it was done through a tax increase, property owners could write off those taxes on their income tax at the end of the year. So we thought there was an advantage to looking at it from both perspectives.
So rate and tax increases?
Right, a combination of rate and tax increases.
Okay, that's Sean Keough, a civil engineer who's working with the city of St. Joe as it plans for infrastructure. Next, I asked him, well, first of all, he works with other communities. He works with communities all over the state on issues like this. So I asked him how St. Joe's situation compares to your average town.
Well, St. Joe is very similar to the other communities across the state. Most communities struggle with how to pay for roads primarily. Most of them have a rate structure in place for water and sewer. Those are called enterprise funds. They're intended to pay for themselves. And, you know, the rates get adjusted each year in an effort that revenues exceed expenditures. What most communities don't have in place is a street millage or a way of funding their local streets. State roads are funded by your state tax dollars. There are some major roads that are funded through limited state dollars that communities can apply for, but your average local street, your average local residential or street that businesses exist on, does not have a funding stream. And most communities around the state are discussing and learning that they have to take care of their own streets. If the streets deteriorate, they become a reflection of the property values. A lot of people think there's nothing like a newly paved street. I always say happiness is a newly paved street, but people feel proud about the condition of their streets. I mean, they drive on them every day when they go get coffee, they take their kids to schools. Nobody likes to ride on a bumpy road, but that doesn't come without a cost, and it doesn't come without a plan to maintain those streets. So we're trying to help the city think proactively, and the city has done a good job of trying to put the dollars that they've been allowed to watch over, they've put those back into, they've invested in the infrastructure. It's just not enough to keep up with what's necessary long term. The rate of deterioration of many of the roads exceeds the amount of money coming in to make the repairs that are necessary.
Okay, as noted, that was Sean Keough, an engineering consultant working with the city of St. Joe on its 20-year-long infrastructure plan. And so they held a meeting last night to discuss this. I also caught up with the mayor of St. Joseph, Mike Gary. I wanted to get his thoughts and hear a little more about what commissioners are going to do next. So I chatted with Mike Gary last night. Let's hear that conversation now.
This presentation tonight, we heard about infrastructure, we heard about, you know, streets, sewers, water, everything. What did you hear from people tonight?
Well, I heard from the folks that attended the meeting tonight that they understand the issues that we do have to correct our roads. There are tough answers, tough questions about the funding of it. Do we go by a millage? Do we add bond issues to it? So people are looking at the bottom line of how it'll affect their pocketbook, and that's very, very important, and that's why we held a meeting tonight. But overall, folks understand that we must improve our infrastructure. So it's not if we're going to do it, it's how we're going to do it.
So, what happens next?
The city commission and staff will come together after get feedback from this. We'll look at all of our options, but we'll have a study session to really narrow down exactly which way we think it's best to go, either the 2 mils with bonding in the future or 2.55 mils for roads going forward, because you also have the increases for sewer and water. But it'll all be held in a study session, which is, again, open to the public.
What's your thoughts on all this? I mean, as a mayor, are you leaning towards any particular solution?
Well, first off, as mayor, I really appreciate the work that staff has put into this. Tim Zebo, Tom McDonald, Sarah McCall, they've been burning midnight oil on this project. And this infrastructure is something that only the city can do. And we want to be transparent and fair to our residents. So if I have an opinion right now, well, I will listen to my fellow commissioners at a study session and we can put some thought to it. So we know it has to be done, but which avenue yet? I think we're all starting to we'll all start to put our heads together and figure out the best solution.
Okay, that was St. Joseph Mayor Michael Gary there talking about infrastructure. They held a meeting last night. As noted, they're talking about possible millage increase, possible rate increases to pay for street work, water work, and sewer work for the next 20 years. They're looking far into the future. That's a good thing. They're planning ahead. Many communities don't necessarily plan ahead, and then they wind up with emergency situations. So they are trying to be proactive. That was discussed last night. I thought there was a fairly decent turnout at last night's meeting. So we'll be hearing about that more. The city commission will hold a study session, the mayor just told us. They have not scheduled it yet, but they're reviewing their options. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. This is a show where we discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest, whatever is happening in your community that affects you and your family. We also talk about, you know, fun events locally. The Berrien County Youth Fair wrapped up last week. We talked about that a couple of times last week, things like that. And if you know about something taking place in the community that you would like us to discuss, send us an email. Tell us about it. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. ourtake@wsjm.com. We're interested in your suggestions. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we will chat with one of the candidates for Congress here in Michigan's 6th District, the Fightin' 6th. Here in this district, we are represented by Congressman Fred Upton. He is a Republican. There are five Democrats running in the primary to try to run against Fred next year. I've talked to all of them. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we'll hear from all those candidates. I can't just talk to one. So I talked to all five just to make sure that we gave everyone a fair shake. And next segment, we'll come back and hear from actually the second of those candidates to have appeared on this show. We've already talked to Paul Clements. And next segment, we'll hear from David Benack. He's a candidate, Democratic candidate for Congress over here in the 6th District. We'll learn a little bit about him and why he is running. And then later on in the show, we'll hear from Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski about a blight elimination around the county. In other words, the need to tear down abandoned buildings. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the host today. Wednesday edition of the show. We are halfway through the week, and I thank you for being with us. On this show, we talk about issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. We also talk about state news, things happening in Lansing. And we occasionally talk about things going on nationally. We check in with our congressman whenever possible. Actually, he'll be coming up on a segment on the show, I think, Thursday. No, Friday, we'll have Congressman Fred Upton in here. Right now, though, speaking of our congressman, I thought we would learn a little bit about some of the Democrats running in the 6th District. Now, this is, of course, a very Republican district. Fred Upton has represented the 6th since, well, 1986. This is a very Republican district. So there are those who say there's no way a Democrat could win here. But you never know, especially in light of recent events. So there are five Democrats running in this primary to try to take on Fred next year, assuming he runs for re-election. And I have talked to all of them. Previously on Our Take, we have heard from Paul Clements. He's the guy who ran last time and the time before that. He's running again this year, but he's got some challengers in the Democratic primary. Four of them. I've talked to all of them. And we'll have them all on this show. I can't just talk to one. So for this segment, I wanted to learn a little bit about one of the candidates. It's an individual named David Benack. I met him at a Benton Harbor City Commissioners meeting a few weeks ago. He comes from Kalamazoo, actually Portage. He is a history professor at Western Michigan University, running as a Democrat in the primary for the 6th District. Now, he is a political newcomer. He has not held political office before. He told me he was inspired by Bernie Sanders to get involved in this. And that's a common thing I've heard from a lot of the Democratic candidates that I've spoken to in this race. A lot of them motivated, inspired by Bernie Sanders last year. So I caught up with David Benack, candidate for a Democratic primary in the 6th District congressional race. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, David, thanks for being with us. Just to start off, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, what's your background?
I grew up in northern Michigan in Alpena, so in a rural corner of the state. Parents had a small sawmill. My grandparents had a dairy farm. And so grew up working there and, you know, didn't really realize it until much later how hard, you know, people like that are working in the state as a whole. Left there, went to college, did my entire, and I think one of the things I think is really important is that from kindergarten all the way through my graduate school, I stayed in the public school system. I did my undergraduate work here at Michigan State. I think that gave me a different perspective of, you know, taking classes with lots of different types of people from different backgrounds all over the country. Finished in Missouri, went down to Louisiana where I taught for 10 years. That was my first teaching job. And one of the things there I learned was the value of unions. We had a really weak union there, and it showed by the pay cuts, the furloughs, the lack of support, lack of raises that the faculty got. So when I got a chance to come to Western, to come back to Michigan, I was excited. So now I teach history, modern U.S. history at Western Michigan, and we have a great union here. I joined the union right away, and within a couple of weeks on the job, I was the association council rep for our union for the chapter, and it's been really helpful having that good representation. Never really got into political party dynamics until recently. I'd always been an activist in social justice and environmental, like kind of single issue, direct action things. When Sanders announced that he was going to run for president, that's when I decided to get into the political system because I watched his career for years and really respected him as a leader. So when he ran, knocked on thousands of doors, made thousands of phone calls, organized other volunteers for the effort, and he did win the primary here. He won Michigan's 6th Congressional District primary with a little over 57% of the vote, which is the largest margin of victory he got in the entire state, and that was a pretty big deal. One of the things that did was show me, it showed me, I think, how politics should happen. We need to talk directly to people. We need to make government responsive to people, and we need to make the system a system that's built around the American public rather than around politicians who are just chasing money. Right now, we have too many of our politicians care about nothing other than how much money they can raise and who the biggest donors are that they have to appease. So we're not doing that. We only take money from individuals, no corporate donations, no PAC donations, because, you know, this isn't about NASCAR. This isn't about wearing sponsors on your back. We're, you know, representing people.
Okay, we're talking to David Banack, a Democratic candidate for Congress here in the 6th District. David, you said you were motivated by Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, and one more and this is really what the kicker was, where it happened, is because of the effort I did organizing for his campaign, he chose me as one of the three people he was able to choose from the state of Michigan to represent him on the National Democratic Platform Committee, where we hammered out the platform that the party is supposed to follow. When I was in those meetings, is when I got to see the way that the party really works and all the things that the Sanders delegates were fighting for, things like an end to fracking, things like expanding Social Security, expanding Medicare, getting rid of student loan debts, making college affordable, protecting workers' union rights, all those things we were fighting for. And all those things were getting shut down by the other delegates because they were representing the corporations and the donors and the wealthiest Americans rather than the actual, you know, majority of the American public. And so when I came out of that meeting is when, I realized that the Democratic Party absolutely has to change. We cannot continue being the party of money and donors and platitudes. You know, we have to be the party that is really and truly for the working class, something that the Democratic Party abandoned after Jimmy Carter. So that's when I decided that I had to run, because we have to have people on the inside of the political system who are willing to listen to the American people and to fight for what is right for the majority of the people, not just for the people with the most money.
Okay, we're talking with David Benack, Democratic candidate in the 6th District. He was telling me he wants to run against Congressman Fred Upton because he wasn't happy with Fred's health care vote recently, and also environmental issues. That's mainly the health care thing I've heard from a lot of Democratic candidates running for the 6th District next year. Not happy with Fred Upton's recent health care vote. So next I asked him, with 5 Democratic candidates in this primary, why should a Democratic voter choose you over the others? Why should they vote for you, for example, instead of, say, Paul Clemens, who's run twice before?
What we're doing that's different is ever since we started the campaign in early May, we have been generating incredible support from volunteers and from organizations and individuals all over the district. We have been knocking on doors. We have been holding town halls. We've actually held, I believe at this point, we've held 4 town halls, and we have another one coming up in Kalamazoo on August 12th. And we're going to continue to hold town halls because we want people to give us their input. We're going to every single community, every single organization, you know, whether it's hunting rights groups or whether it's civil rights groups or whether it is LGBTQ community, we are reaching out to absolutely everyone, and we're out there listening to people. We're out there trying to get the best we can. We're trying to talk to people, listen to people, so that we can actually represent the interests of the district.
So we're going.
And just one more thing. We have the energy. We have the powerful populist message, and we have an organization, Ground Game, that the likes of which this 6th District has never seen.
All right, that's David Benack, Western Michigan University history professor, running as a Democrat in the 6th Congressional District. He wants to stick it to Fred Upton and go up against him next year. So we'll be hearing from him around our area for a while. Now, in terms of what motivates him, he wants to sort of reform the campaign finance system. He also was not happy with our congressman's vote on the health care bill recently. He wants to end fracking. He wants to expand Social Security, expand Medicare, get rid of student loan debts, making for college affordable. He wants to protect worker union rights. He says those are all the things that he is fighting for. And we'll be hearing from David Benack in the next year or so as he campaigns in that race. Now, his opponents in the primary are, well, there's Eponine Garage. She's a tester for Pfizer. There's Matt Longjohn. He's a doctor from Portage. And there's Rich Eichholz, who is a businessman from actually just down south of here, Union Pier. He's from Berrien County, the only candidate in this race from Berrien County. We'll hear from all of them coming up in future editions of Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Needless to say, this is Our Take. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll check in with our county treasurer, Brett Witkowski. Recently, Berrien County got a grant of more than $100,000 to eliminate blight. In other words, tear down abandoned buildings. And I caught up with our county treasurer about that. We'll hear that conversation coming up next segment. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. I am the host today. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Andrew Green. This is the show where we discuss issues playing out in the news here around Michigan's Great Southwest. Things happening in your community. We also talk with our state lawmakers when possible. We chat with our congressmen. Speaking of which, last segment we heard from one of the Democrats running to oppose our congressman Fred Upton next year, David Benack. We'll hear from all those Democratic candidates coming up in future shows. And right now for this segment, I wanted to learn a little bit about a blight elimination grant that recently was awarded to the County of Berrien. It's a state grant. It comes from the State Housing Development Authority. It goes to the Berrien County Land Bank Authority. It is $102,000 to eliminate blight, to tear down abandoned buildings, mostly homes around our county of Berrien. So I checked in with our treasurer, Brett Witkowski, to hear about that. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Brett, so tell us a little bit about this state grant to eliminate blight. How did this come to Berrien County?
Staff that we have, and Katie Mantoy and Ken Fez, have done a great job applying for grants, and very fortunate to receive the grant that will help us in removal of blight. You know, our foreclosure fund does not make money from the standpoint that it moves to the general fund. It is used. Any proceeds that we get above and beyond at the minimum bid at the auctions we use for blight, but this does help clean up blight in the three targeted areas, City Buchanan, Benton Harbor City, and Benton Township. And those are where the majority of our blight removals are this year. We're at, I think, 30. It seems kind of be the standard here. I'd like to see that get down a little bit more, and I think over time it will. When we had the real big grant a few years ago, we were able to remove hundreds of blighted properties, especially in the city of Benton Harbor. And I think that has helped us get to the point now where it's much less. And, you know, even the number of foreclosures are way down this year. You know, last year the auction was 411 properties. This year we're at 224. And that just means that's less blight for everybody to have to worry about and deal with.
All right, Brett. So when we're talking about blight elimination, that's tearing down abandoned buildings.
Correct. What we do is we send a letter. I send a letter to each of the communities with a list of foreclosures. And then I ask them to approve it. There's township, city, or village board, which ones that they would like to have us remove. And so each community, Benton Township, in this case, City of Buchanan and Benton Harbor City, have issued us a list of properties that they would like for us to remove. And so this money will go towards a great deal to do that. But without the staff doing it, of those two, it would be very hard for anything like this to happen.
Okay, so we're looking at Benton Harbor, Benton Township, and Buchanan. How do you select which areas to focus on with any given grant?
When we look at the county, you know, we've got to make sure we're looking at the whole county. Mm-hmm. And I know most people think blight is going to be mostly in Benton Harbor and portions of Benton Township, but there are issues across the county, and you know, we want to make sure that they're all treated equally, and this is one way we are doing that.
All right, so when are we going to start seeing these abandoned properties start to get torn down?
Well, the process of asbestos inspections has already begun. So, you know, that part is good. And so we're just going to continue to go down that path. And because it's government, we have to go through extra steps. So the extra step is asbestos inspections, asbestos removal, and then we'll go out for bid for demolitions once all the contractors know that, you know, what's involved with that, those properties.
All right, Brett, and how often does the county receive these grants to tear down abandoned buildings?
You know, Berrien County, because of the staff doing such a great job, has been fortunate almost to get one every year. And so this is no different this year, and it'll continue to move forward and help secure the funds. So if we ever get a massive demolition like we had last year, we have the funds to do that. And, you know, you just never know what could come down the foreclosure process where the community is having to spend a large amount of dollars to clean up some blight.
The large one from last year referring to is Mercy Hospital, I take it?
Correct, yeah, that was the last one. But, you know, even be surprised, some of the houses, they think, oh, it's not going to be much. They end up being $20,000, $25,000 because it's like they were built with asbestos. You know, it just, you know, you look at them and you question it, but when you look at the reports, it's like, okay, you see why.
Okay, that was Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski. He ended there telling us that it costs more than you might think to tear down abandoned houses in some cases, especially if there's an asbestos situation. So I chatted with Brett there about a $102,000 state grant, which was announced earlier this month for our fair state of, for our fair county of Berrien by our fair state of Michigan. It's a state grant from the Michigan Housing Development Authority. And this $102,000 goes to the Berrien County Land Bank Authority to tear down abandoned properties located on foreclosed properties all over the county. Brett was telling us they're focusing on Benton Harbor, Benton Township, and Buchanan with this latest grant. And they usually get one of these grants about once a year, maybe every other year to do this. And it can cost quite a bit to tear down certain properties. Mercy Hospital in Benton Harbor. That cost more than $1 million to tear down in the past year. So they're glad to receive that grant, and you'll see some abandoned buildings start to get torn down around Benton Harbor, Benton Township, and down in the Buchanan area in the coming month and year. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. We are close to wrapping up another edition of the show. I just wanted to tell you about something going on tonight. Powerball, I talked a bit about this yesterday. The Powerball jackpot is now up to $700 million. So if you want to buy a Powerball ticket for tonight, it's not necessarily a bad idea. Your odds of winning are not very high, but you can't win if you don't play. So I briefly talked to the Michigan Lottery's Jeff Holyfield a little bit about what happens when the jackpot for lottery games gets this high. You start to see tickets fly out the window. And with a $700 million jackpot, that's the second highest jackpot the Powerball has ever had. And the Michigan Lottery's Jeff Holyfield told me, you know, he's met some lotto winners who won these massive jackpots. He's met a couple of people who have won in excess of $300 million, and they tend to have something in common.
When we talk to the big winners, they're overwhelmed because they're normal people, and then they plunk down $2, and with a bit of luck, now they're multimillionaires. You know, it takes them a while to wrap their heads around that and really understand that, hey, my life is going to be far different going forward than it has been.
So that's Michigan Lottery's Jeff Holyfield talking with me about the Powerball jackpot. I asked him about the odds here. He told me, well, you don't have the best odds of winning, but there is reason to dream.
The odds of winning are 1 in 292 million. It's steep odds. However, we have had winners in Michigan. In fact, if you just go back to September of 2015, Julie Leach of Three Rivers, she won $310.5 million.
Okay, so if a Michigan player wins a $700 million jackpot in the Powerball tonight, it'll be the largest Powerball prize ever won here in the state of Michigan. The cash option, should you win, will be $443 million. Or you could take the annuity, in which case your winnings would be spread out over 30 years. Most people would take the cash option. That's what I would do. You know why I would take the cash option? Because I wonder, what if the lottery doesn't exist in 30 years? In fact, what if the state doesn't exist in 30 years? I'm not willing to depend on that. So I'd go for the cash option just in case. And so you get $443 million. That's before taxes. So let's say you wind up with $300 million. Tickets for the Powerball are $2. Your odds of winning are 1 in 292 million. But once again, you can't win if you don't play. So tonight's Powerball jackpot is $700 million. Why not get a ticket and dare to dream for a few hours? News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We're wrapping up another edition of Our Take. On today's show, we chatted with, well, we heard about a meeting last night in the city of St. Joseph where they talked about sort of long-term infrastructure needs. I heard from a civil engineer who's a consultant for the city of St. Joe on this. I talked to the mayor. They're trying to figure out how to raise the more than $80 million they expect they'll need over the next 20 years. So that's the good thing. It's over the next 20 years. So $80 million sounds like a lot, but we're talking two decades here. They're looking into the future. So we heard about that on today's show. Then we chatted with one of the Democratic candidates for Congress here in the 6th Congressional District, David Banach. He is a history professor over at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. He wants to run against Congressman Fred Upton next year, and we'll hear from the other Democrats coming up on future shows. I couldn't just talk to one, and there's five candidates, so we'll learn a little bit about all these individuals. And finally there on the show, we ended by chatting with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski about a more than $100,000 grant that the County of Berrien has received for blight removal to tear down abandoned buildings. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. If you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. And as always, I hope you have a great rest of your day.